Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am thankful that you're listening today. I appreciate you listening in. I think it's going to be a great show. We started last week on the spiritual inventory, taking a spiritual inventory of where you are in your relationship with Jesus, personal to you, and we're going to continue that. And it's going to be, I think if you'll just block out all the distractions and all the thoughts that keep ping-ponging around in your head and all the to-do lists and listen for what the Holy Spirit says. It may not be my words, but He will be speaking into your heart. So we'll get on the spiritual inventory in just a moment. And before I really get into this, I want to say again about my friends at IT Pros. IT Pros, Gayton Heeman is the owner. You can call them at 864-574-3522. 864-574-3522, or just Google IT Pros. They are magicians when it comes to IT work for your small business. They are absolute magicians, and they can fix anything. They can fix it in a timely manner. Not just fix things and fix them immediately, and we all need that, don't we? I have the greatest sense of peace and comfort knowing that they will take care of whatever it is I need, and they'll take care of it quickly. But they're also proactive. So if your network system isn't working for you, they'll redo it. They'll retool for you and set it up so that it is working. They're great defensively. They're great offensively. They can help you with any situation. As a matter of fact, I lost my cell phone yesterday. My cell phone is how I run most of my business. That would be true for a lot of you. And I emailed them, and within 3 minutes, they were emailing me back with a solution. We can take care of this for you. We can forward everything. We can do whatever you need. Gayton Heeman, IT Pros, 574-3522. And let me tell you, they're not paying me for this. I do it because out of gratitude for all they do for me. Okay, 721 Live, Sam Hunter. You can find out all about us on our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. We've got the radio shows archived there, a lot of different things. Matter of fact, we have the spiritual inventory on that site. You can pull it down, print it off, take a look at it, walk through it with us. We also have a sister website, puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. And on that, we have devotions that we write each week. We call them Putting Greens. We have our Putting Green devotional book, our second book that's getting a lot of great reviews. So check us out at 721ministries.org or puttinggreenblog.com. Okay, last week, spiritual inventory. This is not a grading system, how your Heavenly Father looks at you. This is not about performance, and I really have to kind of go through that because as I went through it with the different men's groups last week, I got pushback about, oh, this is all about performance. You're asking us to grade ourselves and rate ourselves. And I said, no, what I'm asking you to do is take a close look at where you are in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, with Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, there's 34 questions on this spiritual inventory. Last week, we started with question number one, which I knew we wouldn't finish in any of the men's groups. We started back with it this week. The A-plus life is found through Jesus and then you fill in the blank, Jesus plus whatever it is you think you have to be happy in life, or it's only through Jesus. The life to the full that He came to give us. You know, He said, I have come so that you would have life. And I'm not talking about just life. I'm talking about life to the full. Well, if He wants me to have it, if He came to deliver that to me, then I want it. I want it. I want what He wants for me. And I know He wants that for me. And so when I look through these and I think, okay, well, if I'm honest with myself, that life that Jesus is talking about, that life to the full, yes, it's Jesus. Yes, it's Jesus. But it's, come on now, it's not only Jesus. I mean, you can't expect me to say I don't want to have enough money to live on, and I don't want to have a nice home, a decent car, that I don't want to be healthy, and I don't want my wife or my husband to do what I want them to do. Oh, excuse me, I mean for them to be healthy and getting along fine, right? The truth is you want them to do what you want them to do, but we'll put it under healthy and, of course, I know you want them to be healthy, and we'll put it under them being happy, and your children, and your job, and all those things. those things that go in that blank that you would say, if you're honest with yourself, it's Jesus plus these things. No, I know it's Jesus, but come on. Let's be realistic. That's what you're saying. Well, are you down near the 1, 2, 3 on that, or you're in the 7, 8, 9, and 10, where I'm pretty close to it's only through Jesus? Or really, if I'm honest, I got a stack of things that I really want to go well in my life. No, let me rephrase that. That have to go well in my life for me to be happy. Anything that goes in that blank, or they're just props, and they're propping you up. They're propping you up to give you the life you think you have to have. And the problem with that is those props are not the rock solid foundation that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7. He says, listen, if you follow my teachings, if you have them and you live by them and you follow me, you'll be like the man who built his house on a rock foundation. Things don't go well. The props get knocked out from under him. The waves and the wind hit and beat against you. House stays firm. I stay at number 8, 9, and 10, maybe even a 10. The things that are props for you are idols. It's just that simple. Now, is it bad for me to want to have these nice things, to want to have things go well for my children and my family and my wife and children? Of course not. There's nothing wrong with those things. For most people, I mean, we're not talking about if you have a porn addiction or if you're an alcoholic or you're hooked on smoking. We're not talking about those kind of things. No, those aren't good for you. But most of us have pretty good props. They're natural for all of us. They're not bad things, but we use the analogy of icing and cake. They can't be the cake. They have to be the icing. They have to just, Jesus has to be the cake in your life. Now, for me, for Sam, for most of my life, the two things that propped me up the most were girls and money. Girls and money. And I had to have both of those where I wanted them, like I wanted them, for me to be happy. You know, I go through this progression in my own growth, and you think about this too. I have to have it to be happy. I need it to be happy. I want it to be happy. Or, well, I can enjoy it. And yes, it's nice, but I don't have to have it. And I don't need it. And I don't necessarily even want it, but I'll enjoy it if the Lord gives it to me. So I had to go through this progression back when I was in real estate and development. I did real well financially at different points. I've been single for a long time. I'm married now for 2 years. But the Lord had to knock those props out from under me. Now, I was never destitute. I was never in the gutter. But he had to knock the props out from under me. And when I started 721, when we started 721 back in 2004, I knew you couldn't go into a men's Christian ministry and expect to be rich. So I moved money and women from the cake to the icing to the point where I didn't even need them. Didn't even want them. Didn't need it. Wanted to be comfortable financially, but didn't need anything more than just what was comfortable. And then he brought all that back 10 years later. And I'm married to a physician who does well financially. And like I tell the men, she doesn't give me an allowance, but it's nice because she can afford nice things. But I don't have to have it. I enjoy it, but I don't have to have it. See, if I could just get you to a point, if the Holy Spirit could get you to a point where you truly believe that Jesus is everything, that he can fill every void, every hole in your life, that he can bring peace and contentment and joy to a point where you don't need anything. You don't even want anything. You just take everything that he sends your way and you can handle it and you can enjoy it. You can handle the things that are not fun, but you can enjoy the things that are. He can do that. If Jesus is everything, then everything else is nothing by comparison. And then the nothing becomes the icing on the cake. He can fill every hole. He can fill every hole to the point where it overflows into the rest of your life. So whatever's in your list of things that are props, things that you think you have to have, let's take money, let's take health, let's take family, let's take work, children. If he's number one, He will fill you to the point where all of His joy and peace and contentment power overflows into all of those other areas and just transforms them. Maybe they don't change at all, but they just become different in your life. Jesus said it. He said, I am it. I'm it. I'm all you need. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He said, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I got it. I'm it. He said, I'm the light of life. You follow me, you'll never walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water of life. And if you drink my water, what was the promise? You will never be thirsty again. Would you not like, you listening to me right now, hearing these words, would you not like, well, let's say it a different way, wouldn't you like to never be thirsty again for anything in this world? Now, is that not realistic? Because if it's not, then you may believe in Jesus, but you don't believe what Jesus believed. Because He believed it. He lived it. He wanted that for you. Not that you don't have nice things or enjoy nice things. You just don't have to have them. You're not thirsty. Everything else is just a prop. Just icing on the cake. Do you believe that? Now, why is this so important that the A-plus life comes only through Jesus? Well, anything that's an idol to you, you're going to worship and you're going to chase after. As Jesus said, you'd be like the pagans, chasing after all these things. When they don't understand, they don't know God, they don't know that He knows what they need, so they chase after all these things. Blaise Pascal, that French mathematician and philosopher, he said, and there's a little bit of hyperbole here, but he said, if man could just learn, man and woman, could just learn to sit in a room quietly, just sit in a room quietly, all the problems of the world would be solved. Perhaps that's some hyperbole, perhaps not, but can you sit in a room quietly with just Jesus and be so happy you overflow with joy? Let's talk more about it in the second half of the show. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us. We're talking about taking this spiritual inventory, which you can download off of our two websites, 721ministries.org or puttinggreenblog.com. 721ministries.org or puttinggreenblog.com. Download the spiritual inventory. I'm asking you to look at 34 different areas in your life and just take an inventory of where you are in these questions. Are you at a one where you really don't have much joy, peace, contentment? Your personal relationship is a little flat? Or are you closer to a 10 to where it's full and overflowing and full of joy and life and energy? Now, I have to keep saying this is not a performance thing. This is not a, I got to feel bad about myself because I'm not ranking where I know God is. God wants me to be. It's not about that. But don't you want what He has for you? And this is just a realistic approach to saying, I don't have what He wants for me. One of the questions, number 7, God is like, and I had to explain this to all, some of the different men. I'll have to explain it to you. God is like Bill Belichick on the sidelines to me, or God is like Pete Carroll. Now, Bill Belichick is the football coach for the New England Patriots. He scowls all the time. I've never seen him smile. He's ugly with the press. He has no time for him. He's condescending. He's a smart aleck, and that's not the word most people would use about him. Bill Belichick does not look like he is ever happy coaching the New England Patriots over there on the sideline. Pete Carroll, who was at Southern Cal but now is at Seattle Superhawks, Seattle, he's running up down the sideline all the time, smiling, laughing, slapping people on the back. Now, if they do something wrong, he gets on them. If he doesn't get on them in a terrible way, it's, come on, we can do better than that. He's full of energy and joy. So I'm not saying he's a good person and Bill Belichick's a bad person. Just, do you think of God on the sidelines of life watching you with this frown on His face all the time? Or do you think of Him as someone who's encouraging you and loves you and is in a good mood and is happy and full of joy? Because I can tell you, Scripture is very clear. He says it about Himself. He is a happy God. And He is full of joy. And he created a creation that is mind-boggling. Can you imagine seeing the same things God sees every day? What joy he must take. And then can you imagine how much it grieves his soul to see us not understanding him and not realizing that he loves us perfectly and that he has everything in control. So if you look at this spiritual inventory and you think, well, now, why is all this so important, what I think about Jesus? Is he everything? And what I think about God, does he love me perfectly? Can he look after me as Jesus promised, Matthew 6:33? You seek me first, you seek God first, you seek the kingdom of heaven, you seek to live and go deeper. All these other things will be taken care of. Do you believe that? Or do you say, no, I'm really more of a 1, 2, 3 on that. I'm not an 8, 9, or 10 on that. I want you to keep thinking about this in the sense of, if God is God to you, in quotation marks, or is God my loving, dear Heavenly Father? Where are you, 1 or 10 on that? Because the closer you are to 10, that he's your loving, dear Father, who is involved in all the details, then the less anxiety you're going to have, the more you're going to want his will over your will, the more being a Christian is going to be empowering and enriching, not hard and a burden, the more you're going to talk directly and personally with him versus just kind of a perfunctory prayer life, the more you'll be able to say, I can thank you now, Father, before I see the outcome, the more you'll see him in all the details of your life and know that he's in all the details of your life. Wouldn't that be a nice way to live? But I have to keep coming back to the fact that this is not about performance. This is not a rating system from 1 to 10 where you have to ask yourself, oh my gosh, I'm failing. No, it's a personal inventory so you can make adjustments. And the question you have to ask yourself, if you're down in the 1, 2, 3, why? If you're not in the 8, 9, and 10, why not? I was talking to one of these questions that I have is that you have a rich, quiet time, that you spend time in the Scriptures. And one of my friends said, you know, I've realized just over the last couple of weeks, really, that it's been several years since I've really studied the Scripture. I do a short, quiet time, and I take my Bible to work and I come to these things, but no, I haven't studied the Scripture in depth in years. Well, why not? And the simple answer is, it hasn't been important to him. Now, you can say, oh my gosh, yes it is, it's important. No, it's not, because we do what's important. That great quotation that I found, that if it's important to you, you'll make it happen. If it's not important to you, you'll make excuses. Do you really have that kind of rich life? Is it important to you? And then I had one man say, well, you know, we're all ones, really. We're all ones. We're all lousy, sinning Christians. We're all ones. And I said, no, we're not all ones. And you're back to the grading system again. You are not a one if you're a child of God. And the only person telling you that is Satan. I understand that maybe he's saying, compared to God, we're still lousy, filthy rags and sinners, and that's fine if you want to walk around with that, but your Heavenly Father doesn't feel that way about you. He loves you. He thinks you're the greatest. Ephesians 2:10 says you're fine craftsmanship, crafted by God for purposes that he has for you. Some of the men, as they rated themselves from 1 to 10, would say something like this: well, I'm usually an 8, but I can snap back to a 1 in a skinny minute. And I said, I don't think that's true. If you're really in the 8, 9, and 10 in your personal relationship with, not a rating system, but when you look at all these different questions, I see him involved in the details of my life. I can thank him before I see the outcome because I know he's always going to do good by me. I am talking directly and personally with him. I don't think Christian being a follower of Jesus is hard and burdening. I think it's empowering and enriching. Anxiety and worry are not that big a problem for me. Sure, something hits me hard, I may waver, I may wobble a little bit, but I don't go from an 8 or a 9 down to a 1. No, I'm locked in. I got a rock solid foundation. Where are you in this? Do you Oswald Chambers had a really good two good observations. He said, "We can only be used by God after we allow Him to show us the deep hidden areas of our own character." It is astounding, Oswald says, how ignorant we are about ourselves. We don't even recognize the envy, laziness, or pride within us when we see it. But Jesus will reveal to us everything we have held within ourselves before His grace began to work. And then Oswald finishes with this: "How many of us have learned to look inwardly with courage?" That's all I'm asking you to do. Look inwardly. Evaluate. Now, if you are one of those who would say, "Well, I really want to be an 8 or 9 or 10. And I find myself there sometimes, but I'm typically more of a 3 or 4. And again, not about rating system, and not about performance, but about where you are in the depth of your relationship. Then I would just repeat to you, as I repeated to them, this quotation I have in my office: "If I want something I've never had, I'm going to have to do something I've never done. If I want something I've never had, I'm going to have to do something I've never done." Or maybe I would paraphrase that for you. And if I want something I haven't had in a while that I've let slip away, I'm going to have to do something I haven't done in a while. So when it comes to doing, I want to ask you this question. Put the word "do" and next to it put the word "surrender." Which one of those is going to play the bigger role in your getting closer to Jesus? Doing or surrendering? Now, I'm not talking about doing in the sense of Habitat for Humanities and church activities and all that kind of thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a resume when it comes to doing. I am talking about reading the Scripture, going deeper, spending time alone, memorizing Scripture because your heart tells you you want to memorize that Scripture, not because somebody else told you to do it. Doing or surrendering? And we got all kind of responses from the men. 50-50, zero doing, 100% surrendering, 20-80, back and forth. And I thought about it for a long time, and I can just share with you my experience. At this point in my life, following Jesus now for 27 years, most of my life is on an upward trend. I'm not flat. I'm certainly not downtrend. I'm not drifting away from my Heavenly Father, and I'm usually drifting toward or moving towards Him. And that's because I do a lot of things with the Scripture. I read the Scripture a lot. I study the Scripture a lot. I memorize Scripture. I spend time in prayer. Plenty of faults, of course, But if I memorize John 1:1-14, 1-18, which I would recommend you do, beautiful passage. If I memorize that, that doesn't bump my trajectory. It keeps me on the upward path. So that doing keeps me on a upward trend, getting closer to Jesus, getting closer to my Heavenly Father. But when I have surrendered something very tough, very difficult to surrender, something I knew wasn't an A-plus for me, but I didn't want to let it go. I had to have it. I needed it. I wanted it. When I have surrendered that, that has bumped my trajectory. That has bumped my trajectory. Surrendering. Doing keeps me getting closer, but surrendering things always bumps my trajectory. Oswald had something to say about that also in his January 15th devotion. "You must agree with God and stop being the intensely striving kind of Christian you have been. We avoid the cemetery and continually refuse our own death to self. It will not happen by striving, but by yielding to death. It is dying, being baptized into His death, dying to self. Striving will get you closer, but it's the dying to self that bumps the trajectory." Now, why is all this important? And I'll finish the show with this, and we'll pick it up next week at this point. Why is all this important? Where you are in your... Why take a spiritual inventory? Well, I'm going to read you two passages. One from Jesus, one from the Holy Spirit through Paul. Matthew 16:26. "For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they have done." And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as followers, as Christians, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. It matters how you live here and your relationship with Him. It matters there. It doesn't get you there, but it matters there. And it's my responsibility to be sure you're aware of that. Next week, we'll get right back on this spiritual inventory. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.